Hey, it's good to be back. Good morning. You know, I was gone. You know, every year Sharon and me take the last 2 weeks of July because Sharon's in education. So, you know, we only have like this window in the summertime where we can get away as a family or get together. So I'm thankful every time I get to have that time with Sharon, and I'm also thankful for when I come back. And because I miss everybody. There's something about being in your home church, you know, being a part of a home church. And you can go visit other churches and you can enjoy them. You can enjoy what you experience and meeting new people and all those things, but it's not your home church, you know. And there's just something about coming back home. So I'm thankful for that. And so I'm glad to be back with my church family. And I just want to say also thank you for the kind words. My stepmother passed away. I had an opportunity to go back to Georgia and visit some family. And I'm sad at her passing. And I just thank you for everybody's prayers and support. And as we start this next year, you know, we come into this, it'll be my 12th year here at First Baptist Church of Rockland. So we're going to start this year. I want to lay down a thought for the coming year. And it just comes out of 1 Thessalonians. We started in 1 Thessalonians back in June, and I just kind of want to catch back up with that. But there's a thought in verse 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. If you have your Bibles, please open up to them. If you're looking at your Bible on your phone or your tablet, whatever you got, just please go to that location. And here's what the verse says. It says, that this is why we constantly give thanks to God, because you received the word of God that you heard from us. You welcomed it not as a human message, but as truly is the word of God, which works effectively in you who believe. Amen. Amen. And there's an action here concerning this word when you look at it. You can see how it was received and how it was welcomed in their life. And when it comes to that, when they received it and they welcomed it, there was a fundamental shift in the way that this church, this group of new believers, started to live their lives and the way they started to think and the way that it impacted not only their city, but other churches in the area. And so that's what I want to look at. This morning, the word, the message that came to them became a source of joy, and this joy spread everywhere. Even to the apostles themselves who brought the message, they would be encouraged by the joy of this group of people. And so I want this thought to kind of run across your minds. I hope that it kind of embeds itself into your thinking and that it starts to grow and bear fruit in your life. And this one thought is, how you receive the word of God will determine how you live out your Christian faith. How you receive the word of God is going to determine the way that you live out your Christian life. How you view the Bible, what kind of authority it has, how it plays in your life is going to determine how you walk with Christ. I promise you. And what we think about the Bible, how we regard it as truth, will determine how much we read it, how much we value it, if it has authority in our lives. That's all going to come into play. And it'll determine how much you follow it. So let's quickly refresh ourselves with 1 Thessalonians. So I even have some slides this week. So we want to pick up the theme of this letter. When you look at it, the theme of this letter is to persevere and live godly lives while waiting for the day of the Lord. Amen. And so we see that in this letter. And it was written by the Apostle Paul from Corinth to the church in Thessalonica, and it was written around 50 to 51 AD. And there's a little map. Can you show the map? I don't know if you know where Thessalonica is not. This is Greece. And so you can see where the church was located. You can see where the church of Philippi is, Thessalonica, Berea, and you can see where Paul is writing from. He's writing from Corinth to the city of Thessalonica. As you read Luke's account in the book of Acts, we see how the apostles themselves came into the city of Thessalonica, and we know that he spent about 3 weeks there. So he had 3 weeks. He was sharing the gospel with the Jews and the Greeks, and a lot of the Greeks came, and the scriptures even tell us that some predominant women who were probably wealthy came along board Paul and started to help the church. And we can see predominant women, we can see Greeks, but we also see some Jews started to believe. And when some of the Jews started to believe, there was jealousy that rose itself up in the church or in the synagogue that was there. And so they, if you see, like some translations will say, they gathered some wicked people or scoundrels, one version I said, and they started a riot in the city, and they started to stir up all this trouble for Paul and Silas, who was trying to plant this church, because they didn't want it there. They didn't want anything to do with it. So imagine for a moment, you're in this church, and you're excited about the message that's come. I mean, you're hearing the gospel for the first time, and you're embracing it. You love what you're hearing. In fact, you're rearranging your whole life because this message is a message of hope, and you have received it with joy. And imagine that just after 3 weeks, you've been being taught, you're taught by Paul and Silas, and you're receiving all this joy and this love and this encouragement, and all of a sudden, there's a riot in the city, and your leaders flee. Because they have to. And you're left there with what you know and no leader. Just imagine that for a moment. You know, I was thinking about that. Most churches I know, if that happened to them, they would not exist for very long. They wouldn't last. But here we see this church lasted. They survived. They not only survived, but they started to thrive, which is amazing to me. So how were they able to do that? That's what I was thinking about. But we can see this as we read the scriptures, you read this letter, you'll see that when Paul left, he started to get very anxious and very nervous about what was going on in this church, because he's thinking, I put a lot of work into this church. You know, God blessed it, and we saw it, and he didn't want to lose what was happening there. So finally, Paul can't stand it anymore, and he sends Timothy kind of do a scouting trip. You know, go up there and see what's going on, Timothy, because I can't set foot up in that area. But you can. Go up there and see what's going on. And when Timothy reports back, he hears the good news of their faith and their love, and he is greatly encouraged. And in fact, listen to what Paul says when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. He says this, but now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and your love. He reports that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we are encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live, and if we stand firm in the Lord, how can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience because of you? And as we pray earnestly right night and day, and we see you, we hope to see you face to face and complete what's lacking in your faith. I mean, he gets this letter. Timothy goes up there. He comes back, and he gets encouraged. I mean, just imagine. He thinks this church is dead, and he comes back and realizes it. It is thriving. It is doing good. And how encouraged Paul is. He wants to go back. He wants to go back and complete what he started. I mean, that's exciting that when a teacher, when an apostle is encouraged by the what's happening in a church, and we see that in Paul. And this church survived intense persecution because, you know, even though Paul and Silas left, didn't mean that the Jews and the different people are there stopped persecuting the church. They continued. And so in this immense, intense persecution, this church still managed to thrive. And not only that, but they became an example for other churches in the area that were struggling. So how were they able to do that? Because I can't help but think, I want to be that kind of a church. That no matter what is happening around us, that we can thrive and we can be a church that becomes a beacon for other churches, like other churches that are suffering and being persecuted, that they would look to us and say, hey, look what's happening there. We want to be a part of that. We want to be like them. I want to be a part of that kind of a church. Amen?
Amen.
You a part of that church?
Amen.
You want to be a part of that church?
Amen.
All right, all right. And how were they able to do that? And I think this is how they received and welcomed the word of God. I think it comes back to the way that they welcomed and received the word of God. And we can see this. It brings us back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, which again says, this is why we constantly give thanks to God, because you received the word of God that you heard from us. You welcomed it, not as a human message, but what as it truly is, the word of God, which works effectively in you who believe. There are two thoughts that we see here. The first one is you received. We see Paul, he uses this, you received. And the second is you welcomed, or some translations would say you accepted. You accepted the word. The church received the message of Paul. And they were doing this as they were examining his life and his actions. Remember, Paul, when he came to Thessalonians or any area, and he started talking to synagogues, he brought a reputation with him. Maybe you're familiar with Paul's reputation or not, but he was known by a lot of people. He wasn't even considered an apostle. He wasn't considered an apostle. And for a lot of people, they saw him as someone who was once a Pharisee who persecuted the church. He had killed Christians. And so here's this guy who does he think he is? He's calling himself an apostle. He's walking around. He once persecuted the church. And he's going to come in here and tell us how to know and love Christ. I mean, just think about it. Some of the people would bring those arguments up. So you can imagine when he came, he was watched very closely. I'm sure they were watching the way that he lived. And that's why you see in the Paul that says he worked hard. He didn't use a bunch of philosophy. He just told the truth. He just lived his life. He nurtured them and he guided them as he went along. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can see how he talks about how he nursed them like a mother. And he just loved them. He just came in and just loved them and let them examine his life. Let them see his heart as he cares for them and as he shares the gospel. Yet this group, so they watched him and they received his message. Because that's half the battle, isn't it? They have to receive it. So they're willing to listen. And they were moved by the power of the message of Christ. So they were willing to listen. Willing to listen. And they were moved. And they listened to the message of the gospel that Jesus lived and died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose according to the scriptures. Paul's message was on display. It was on full display in his life and in the power of the Holy Spirit as he was sharing the gospel with them. And it gave them assurance of the message that was spoken. They opened, and when they received the message, they welcomed it. The scripture says they welcomed it. See, it's one thing to hear a message, and you can receive a message, but it's another thing to welcome it.
Amen.
It's another thing to welcome the message. It's not just persuasive words, but it was the power of God. In welcoming the message, what they were essentially saying is they accepted it as the word of God to them. They accepted it as the word of God. The message carried authority for them. And for them, it also carried immense joy. Immense joy. And it carried them even when they faced opposition. They gave themselves to the teaching of the apostles and they were changed. They were changed. How many of us in this room want to be changed? How many of us are tired of being powerless? I am. Amen. I want some of this. I do. They gave themselves to the apostles and their teaching. Paul says they welcomed the message in 1 Thessalonians 6 through 10. And they became an example for all the believers in Macedonia. That's that greater area and beyond. And they were known. This church was known, you can read in the first chapter, for turning to the living God and turning away from idols. So the way of life, everything that everybody was doing, they were worshiping idols. This church went totally against culture, and they started to worship the living God, and they turned from idols, which would have been crazy in that day because everybody worshiped idols. Everybody. And they went totally against it. They became part of the body of Christ, and they suffered at the hands of the Jewish believers. Their belief and their faith was verified by the way that they survived through this. I mean, they couldn't have made it on their own. God had to be working in their midst. The power of the Holy Spirit had to be encouraging them and helping them and keeping them grounded. They thrived not by compromising with the culture around them, but by living godly lives focused upon the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we should be living our lives. Godly lives focused upon the return of Jesus. They received the word, they welcomed the word, and it started to work effectively in them. So where does that put us this morning? Where does this put us right now? We as individuals and as a church, we're going to have to determine what role the word of God is going to play in our lives. We have to make that determine. Are we going to receive the message? And are we willing to welcome it into our lives? Because that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Because there's a lot of things that are said in the Bible. Am I right? Challenging things. There's things in there that you're not going to agree with. And you're going to have to determine, am I going to listen to God on this? Or am I going to listen to myself? Am I going to listen to culture? Or am I going to follow God? You're going to have to determine that. Each one of you have probably already wrestled with those things already. Most people I come across, what I find is they're willing to listen about the Bible. They're ready. They're already all right to receive the word. They'll listen to it. But the bigger question is, do they welcome it in their life? And that's the same question for us. And are we willing to submit to the authority of the word of God? Do you believe that the Bible is sacred scriptures? Do you believe that you have all that you need for the wisdom of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ by the scriptures? Is it enough? Do you believe all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work? Do you believe that? How we receive the word of God will determine the way we live our Christian faith. It's something that you're going to have to determine for yourself. But I can tell you what it looks like when you start to look at the word and when you truly start to believe what the word says. Because it inspires those who read it. It gives hope and it gives peace to those who want to know it. God isn't... Listen, one of the things that I come across all the time is like, I want to hear God speak. And you'll have even some people that say God speaks to them directly. But I have a question. When I hear that, I think, then why do you need a Bible if God just talks to you? And here's the conclusion that I've come on that. If you want to hear God audibly, if you want to hear what he's saying, read the Bible out loud. Because that's the word of God. That's him speaking to us. If you want to hear it, have someone else read it to you out loud if that helps you. But that's the word of God. That's God speaking to us. He spoke to us through the Bible. That's how he talks to us. You've got to embrace the scriptures for what they are and make them a part of your life. And if you do so, you will see tremendous change in your life, because through them, you will encounter God. You will encounter Jesus Christ, and you will learn about Him. You will learn about the unbounded love that He had for you and how He came to die for you. In fact, the Scripture says that all the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge is found in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you know where I grew up. I grew up in Jackson, California. Anybody familiar with Jackson, California? Did you know that Jackson, California has two mines? Two gold mines. When I was growing up, I played around those gold mines. I saw them. In fact, you had to be careful running around the fields of Jackson because they had air shafts. And there were stories of cows, dogs, kids falling down air shafts and never being found again. I mean, it was just part of it. And there was the Kennedy mine there. And it was there from the 1800s to 1942. And it had a vertical shaft of 5,912 feet. That's over a mile down. And at the time when it was dug, it was the largest, it was the deepest mine in North America. Right there in Jackson, California. And you can go there and see the Kennedy mine. It's still there. You can tour it. And there's also the Kennedy tailing wheels. You can see these big wooden wheels where they took the water down from the mines. And they ran it through sluice boxes and they got the gold out. Why am I telling you this? Because you know what? Somebody, somewhere, valued what was in that mine. They did. They wanted the gold out of the ground. And you know what they did? They spent a lot of time and effort to get that gold out of that mine. So much for it. So they dug a mile deep into the ground. That's a lot of work. A lot of work. But they did it because they treasured what was in the ground. See, now, this is what I'm bringing this to. The Bible says that all the treasure of knowledge and wisdom is in the person of Jesus Christ. And the way that I'm going to know Him is through His Word. Amen. If I treasure what's in the Word, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig in it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find that gold that's there. Because if I do that, it's valuable to me. It means something to me. It's life-changing to me. You know what? It's not only life-changing to me, but because my life changes, guess what happens? It changes people around me. Mm-hmm. You can't be around me and not share in the treasure that I find. Right? Now just imagine if a whole church felt that way about the Word of God, and that we started to dig and to treasure what we found and started to share our wealth with others. Amen. What would happen to that church? Do you think a little fire would start? Do you think there would be a little excitement about the things that they're finding and sharing and watching? You can watch lives change. When I start sharing this message, you mean people's lives start to change? I want to be a part of that. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? I mean, I can watch somebody who's struggling in alcohol or drugs or they're just a jerk in life, and I can watch their whole life change in a moment. I can find an unloving person who's selfish and uncaring turn and become the most loving, caring person in the world. I've seen it happen in my life and hundreds and thousands of others. How many of you have seen that happen? Has the Word of God changed you? Has it changed people around you? Do you value what you find in it? Do you value it? Jesus is why we search the Scriptures, because we want to know Him. We want to grow in Him. He is the reason everything was created. In him, everything finds its meaning. And all things are sustained from Him. I get that from Scripture. Not because I'm smart. Because I read it in the Word of God. And I can read that and I can go, that's amazing. I want that Jesus. I want to know Him. when you look at scriptures, you will learn also how you're broken and how sin has separated you from God. And you will learn also that this sin has caused you to become dead to God. And it says in scripture, this is not my words, that because of that, you're a child under wrath. But you will also learn about God and his great love and his mercy, because he loved us, that he made us alive in Jesus Christ, that he did this by sending his son into the world, his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The church in Thessalonica, they thrived in the midst of severe persecution, and they did so with joy, even after the apostles were forced to leave. They did this, and I believe it's because they welcomed and they received and they welcomed the word of God in their life. They embraced it. So, I just pray this morning that you're sitting here, that you'll welcome the word of God in your life, that you'll accept it, because it is through that that you'll know Jesus. Amen. And here's the other thing. I pray right now as we come into this new year, that you'll make a fresh commitment to Scripture, to knowing Scripture, and that you'll also make a fresh commitment to Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the living word, the Logos, the living word. And here's what else. I pray that you love him and that you'd serve him and that you'd serve others, because that's what's going to happen when you start knowing the scriptures. Because you're going to love others and you're going to love him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for right now that you would just be with us, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word we can know Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would start to move in our hearts, that we would be thankful for your word, and we would be thankful most of all for your son, Jesus. And I pray right now, if there's anybody here that's never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray now they put their faith in Jesus. They put faith in that what Jesus did on the cross for them, that he died for their sins, and that he was buried and he rose on the third day, that through Jesus Christ we have the forgiveness of sin and that we have eternal life through faith in Christ by grace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.